the lee of a picturesque ridge lies a small, unpretentious winery, one that pampers its fruit like its own babies. Hi, I'm Moira Rose, and if you love fruit wine as much as I do, then you'll appreciate the craftsmanship and quality of a local vintner who brings the muskmelon goodness to his oak Chardonnay and the dazzling peach crab apple to his Riesling Rioja. Come taste the difference good fruit can make in your wine. You'll remember the experience, and you'll remember the name, Herb Irvlinger, Bert Herngreif, Irv Herblinger, Bing Livehanger.
Episode of Shits and Giggles. We are a Shits Creek podcast where we go through the entire series episode by episode. My name is Paul McCambridge. I'm one of your two hosts, and with me as always is my lovely wife Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay.
I should have some wine for this episode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that would be appropriate, completely appropriate, since we're talking about episode 6. Which is Wine and Roses.
Are we at the halfway point? How many episodes are there in season one?
We should probably 13? Know that. That should not be a question 10? To ask now.
Somewhere between 10 and 13.
10 and 100.
10.
Somewhere closer to 10. Not 100.
All right, so we might be near
anyway.
The halfway point. But yes.
Maybe I've already had some wine.
The episode in question is Wine and Roses.
Yes.
The original air date is March 11th, 2015. Directed by Jerry Sicuretti. This is the fourth episode.
Yes.
He's directed by
popular
him.
Name.
4 of 6
yeah.
already.
He's done a lot.
And it's the second episode written by Kevin White. He previously wrote Bad Parents. So if you're looking for a deep dive on those people, go back to those episodes, I guess. Or just look up their credits on IMDb.
Or you could go back to those episodes and we've done it all for you.
That's
like
right.
Like you said.
Yeah.
You know, don't go to your own browser.
All right.
And look it up.
Don't
just
look. Don't do the research.
Us.
Allow us. Believe everything we say.
Totally. Yes.
All right. So the opening of this episode certainly starts in the motel room.
Yes.
I'm really interested as to what Moira was watching on TV.
I couldn't tell.
It
yeah.
looked like Ray was on TV.
Oh.
I thought. I mean, to me, that's what
yeah.
it looked like. But it was so
it
quick.
Was
there
so
was no
quick.
Yeah, there was no way
yeah.
to tell. But she was really into it, which is weird.
She was very interested in what was on TV because she was totally disinterested in everything else that was happening around her.
Right.
All the chaos
yes.
That was Johnny at that moment.
We don't see the cast ever really watch TV, which is a dumb thing. I mean, why would you watch a show to watch people watch TV?
Yeah.
Reminds me of a Seinfeld bit. But, you know, other than when Roland was in their room, mm-hmm. it's not like they ever even have the TV on. So I'm just wondering, because
right.
directors and stuff do that a lot where they're like, oh, I'll put this
oh, definitely.
Poster in the background
yes.
because I like. So I'm just
There's
I'm
always,
really curious as
yeah.
to what was on TV.
Yeah, we probably should have, like, looked into that a
this,
little bit more.
Okay.
Tried to figure that out.
It's
next
constantly
time.
Things that we say.
I know.
We should have done this.
We
should have
this.
Tried harder.
Yeah.
We
well,
should have done
we
our
didn't.
Research. Nope.
Uh-uh. Nope. You only get the best.
Right. Yes.
With us.
Just the least amount of work possible.
we are busy people.
Oh. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So Stevie is trying to patch a call through.
Yes.
Johnny comes in. He's very excited
mm-hmm.
that a call is coming through.
Yeah.
From Herb Irvlinger?
Irvlinger.
Which is a terrible
yeah.
name.
Oh, I think
mean,
it's great.
I think it all makes sense then.
Absolutely.
In the
later
end,
on.
But it
yes.
is such a silly name
yeah.
to even say.
Well, you know, it sounds like some pretentious winery owner, maybe.
You mean non-pretentious winery, right?
That is Isn't true. That what you mean?
Okay. So Stevie's trying to patch this call through. I don't know if it's that their phone isn't working or that Johnny just doesn't know how to operate
work it. Yeah.
A phone that has blinking
lights.
It's
weird, though, because you would think if you pick it up,
you wouldn't have to push buttons.
You shouldn't have to do anything, right?
No.
If she's, like, patching the call through, you should just be able to pick up the phone and receive your call.
Yeah,
I would think.
It's a bad business model to make your hotel phone system so complicated that guests would have to hit buttons in order to get calls.
But I'm sure it's super outdated, so maybe at some point that's how it would have had to have been done?
I guess, because you could just call rooms direct, right? I mean, now you certainly can now, but like you said, this is very old. Maybe that's the...
I could see it being a little bit outdated.
Yeah.
But yeah, the phone is not working. He is upset because he really needs to talk to good old Herb.
Herb, yep.
So then Moira, of course, like not even really paying attention, just kind of says in passing, very non-committal, like he should just have Stevie patch it through to the kids' room instead.
Right.
So that he can go over there and take his phone call, which really doesn't go any better.
It's terrible. Because Alexis picks up the phone.
Right. David has his headphones on. Like he's not even, the phone's ringing. He's yelling for the kids to pick up.
Yes.
Alexis finally answers, informs them that this is the wrong room, that they are actually need room six, and that they should call back and into room six.
It's great.
So,
it's a fun little cold open. It's a fun gag, let's call it.
Yes.
But it's played really well by everyone.
Yeah. No, agreed. Yeah, because then they do patch it back into their room, and Moira answers.
Right.
And of course, the same thing happens, and Johnny just stands there looking totally and completely exasperated and frustrated with everything.
And I just wasn't sure. At first, I was like, oh, are we just getting Stevie off camera? Are we just getting Stevie voice in this episode?
Mm-hmm.
It turns out, no. No, she does pop up later, but
right.
I thought for a minute it was just going to be her voice off camera.
Yeah, and she pops up later in a great way,
sure.
as Stevie always does.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of this episode. I really like a lot of the things
Why
that happen
are you
in it.
Spoiling?
I don't
already?
Know.
Already?
Okay. Well,
no.
I'm just excited to talk about it.
Okay.
Like when I was looking, you know, thinking back and the whole scene, everything that's going on with David, because then, you know, as we kind of work our way into the episode, David is freaking out health-wise.
And I think that's the thing about all sitcoms is we can remember the story that's attached to the name, but I couldn't have told you that David's panic attack was the same episode as the winery,
right.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's what's really nice about going back and revisiting these, because by the title, I might have an idea of what this episode is and how I feel about it, but other things will certainly happen.
Yeah, so he's really alarmed. He thinks he has a heart murmur.
Yes.
He's struggling with lack of sleep, an irregular pulse. His heart is just not rested, which I love.
Yep.
His immune system's low due to the fact that there's no kale anywhere.
I like when Alexa said she's tried to find her pulse literally a thousand times. Nothing.
Right, yeah. She's like, so basically you're fine. She also refers to him that, you know, she says something in passing about him being like 34. And he says, I'm basically 29.
He tells her not to be a little bee, which I think is kind of funny.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and she doesn't have any time for him at all. Has zero concern,
which is,
of course,
again,
in typical Alexis fashion.
I mean, this is an abrupt change from him just lying in the bed with his headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
Seemingly not concerned at all.
Yes.
But everything's becoming a bit too much for him in this town.
Oh, definitely.
I'm not saying I don't know where the stress comes in, because the most stressful thing, as he says earlier, you know, they lost everything they had. But it's not like he has a lot on his plate or anything like that.
But that's what I think is the stress.
I guess the stress is just
he's used to
nothing to do.
Things to do.
Yeah.
And this is like a total life change, and he doesn't know how to deal with it.
No,
you know, not being able to just go shopping and order things that he wants online and
eye cream.
You know, get his eye cream and everything. I'm sure is just completely can't handle that at all. But yeah, I like that Alexis leaves. She's off for a jog. And she basically tells him, don't die until I get back.
So now we go to this winery.
Which is a cute little place.
Yes. I mean, it's near a landfill.
It's near landfill, right? What more could you ask for with your winery? Like, I'm sure you'd want to sit outside and sip some wine next to a landfill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fruit wine. It's very specific. I guess that's all they do.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, we don't, it is insecticide free, which is certainly a plus, especially when they are given glasses and they comment that there's something in them. Yep. And Herbert Linger says, oh, that's a ladybug, which is
that's a good one, which is a weird thing to say.
Well, I guess, wouldn't you rather have a ladybug than, like, some other disgusting bug?
Oh,
like,
of course.
I mean, no bug would be great. That would really be perfect.
No bug would be great, but also...
But if it's going to be one, ladybugs are lucky, you would totally want a ladybug in your wine.
Any sort of bug you can pick it up. It's not a big deal. But that's pretty gross. I mean,
of course.
It's a winery.
Yes.
So, Herb Ertlinger,
tell us all about him.
Richard, I guess you would say his name, Richard Waugh, W-A-U-G-H. Is that how you would say that?
I don't know.
He's got over 100 TV and film credits to his name.
Okay.
Some of the usual suspects, like 12 Monkeys and My Babysitter's a Vampire.
Oh, we've heard that one
before. He was also in Blue Bloods and The West Wing and a lot of TV series based on movies like FX, Friday the 13th, and the RoboCop TV series.
Oh, okay.
So he's pretty prolific. Yeah. He's done a lot of things.
Yeah. And he's older, you know, so that would make sense. I shouldn't say he should have credits to his name, but it makes sense that he would.
I mean, and for the amount of stuff he's given to do and for the amount of lines that he has, I guess just early on, though, right?
Yeah, he really doesn't
pops
have
up
that much.
Later, but he's just wandering around the background of this shoot.
Yes. Yeah, he really is not like a. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't think he has a ton of lines.
All right, scratch that. He was very busy doing other film work, I guess, and could only show up for an afternoon.
Yeah. But I do like, you know, Moira immediately makes the comment about this fruit wine that it tastes like something that should not go into one's mouth.
And the whole reason they're there, this is not what Johnny thought. Johnny was under the impression that Herb probably wanted his help.
Wanted to do business with him.
Yes, marketing or whatever. I mean, you know, he owned a very successful chain of video stores, so I get it.
Yeah.
But no, he wants Moira.
Right, because he and his wife were huge Sunrise Bay fans.
Yes, definitely.
So they want her to do a series of commercials for them.
Yeah. Which is, I get it. It makes total sense. These people, these quote-unquote, or this famous individual, not even quote-unquote, she was in a,
she's famous.
A big part on that. Yeah. You know, they own your town. Everybody in town is probably aware of who owns this town.
Do you think they knew this before they came?
This because seems I feel like nobody something we've discussed before or we should have discussed in the first episode.
I don't know that we did though. Yeah. Like, do you think that they knew? Like, did Herb Ertlinger know that she was the owner of the part of the family who owned the town?
I would imagine that them, if they're huge fans of that show, they probably did. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what kind of involvement would they have ever had in the town? You know what I mean? Like, they basically had no involvement. Like, why?
Well, none, but it seems weird that, well...
We've talked before about how do you even own a town?
I know,
so,
but also...
I'm not sure.
Ray talked about how long the town was for sale before they bought it, so I don't know if that would be a big thing. It would be in all the local papers and stuff, you know?
Yeah. The local papers? I think... Is there even a
the
paper?
The local paper... There has to be a newspaper.
I guess. You never hear anything about that.
I know, but...
I'm sure there is somewhere.
All right,
still haven't met the person that is in charge of the Schitt's Creek Herald.
No,
That's apparently what this is.
No.
Or maybe Ray does it on the side.
Schitt's Creek Gazette or something like that. But there could be an Elmdale paper that would certainly mention...
Cover Schitt's Creek News.
I'm sure these people can get a paper. I'm sure they're not barred from getting
get
a paper because there's not one made down the street.
Right.
But I would assume that if a famous person owned your town, you would know about it.
I wish a famous person could own our town.
I know, but we...
Because that would just be fun.
But when Kim Basinger bought that town...
What?
Wait. All right. Maybe I think this is more common knowledge than it was.
I don't really know a lot about Kim Basinger owning towns.
She owned a town, and she lost a ton of money owning this town. It was a big thing.
Oh.
And then I think she eventually had to sell it or... Maybe she still owns it. I don't know, but it was a big deal that a celebrity bought a town.
Oh, okay.
And I guarantee you, Eugene Levy, like, had a blast hearing about this at the time and was like, I'll file this idea away.
Maybe.
But that was, I don't know, that was a big deal.
Right, okay.
And I assume everybody in that town knew, hey, Kim Basinger owns our town. That's pretty great.
I'm sure. I'm sure everybody went to bed at night saying, oh, I'm so glad Kim Basinger owns our town.
Yeah, they probably thought she would end up living there at some point or at least visiting.
Maybe.
Have a vacation home. I forget where she owned this town. Anyway, Herbert Linger. So now Davy goes.
Who's Davy?
I don't know.
That sounds like something Roland would call him, right? Yeah. I could hear that. I could,
So David.
Yes.
Goes to the motel office.
Of course.
To talk to Stevie about
this. Yes. And he's very alarmed that he's having a pulmonary embolism. Well, he looked it up.
WebMD told
him that.
This family, terrible with the internet. Stop using the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody in this family needs to just throw their computers out the window or their phones.
Yeah.
A pulmonary embolism.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah. And I like that Stevie kind of just says to him, like, well, you look good. And he's like, no, that's just how I look.
Yeah.
You know, like she's, of course, is playing along with him, as Stevie always does. So he insists, or he feels as though he needs to get to some hospital somewhere.
Right.
But of course, the closest hospital is in Elmdale.
Elmdale.
You know,
do
David.
Do we ever find out how far away Elmdale is?
Mm.
It seems to be everybody's put out when they have to go there.
Yeah, they do kind of seem inconvenienced by that. But, like, the drive to get there is always on, like, a...
Oh, it's just...
It's like a back kind of road.
And,
yeah. Like, it's definitely... Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. Do we ever see a sign that has, like, number of miles? I'm not sure.
This might be our most uninformed episode.
Yeah, we're this is kind of bad.
We're getting worse.
Well, we can talk about the episode.
No, I know.
What we saw and what happened.
Oh, no.
But,
yeah, we know what we watched.
Right. That should be, like, our tagline. Like, shits and giggles. We know what we watched. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so, yeah, they have to go to Elmdale, Stevie informs him. And David's kind of like, so what, people around here just, like, drop dead of sheer neglect? Which I kind of love. Any interaction with them is fabulous. But really what is kind of the best part is they end up at not a hospital.
No.
It's a hospital.
It's
I should say it is a hospital, but it's a...
Isn't it a clinic?
It's a veterinary clinic. Hospital.
Okay.
We'll say it's a hospital.
All right. Okay.
But it's a veterinary hospital.
I have a question about this because we are introduced to Ted.
Yes.
I don't think he's given a name. Nobody refers to him as
Ted. They just refer to him as the vet.
Right. He's just a vet right
at
now.
At this point.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember if they mentioned his name.
I took note. I don't think they did at all. So Ted Mullins, we will find out that that's what his name is played by Dustin Milligan.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of credits.
Mm-hmm.
He's
been in a lot of things.
He's in Final Destination 3, Butterfly Effect 2. Lots of sequels.
Yeah.
He was a major part of the 90210 reboot.
Yes.
In 2008.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in a Demi Lovato music video.
Yeah. He's done a lot
and
of things.
He was recently in the big budget Paul Feig film, A Simple Favor, with Anna Kendrick and someone else.
Oh, we really are uninformed.
Let's say Blake Lively.
Oh.
I think that might be right.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's go with that then.
I saw it. It was okay. Not
great. Oh, you watched this?
Yeah, I did. I heard it was good, and then I watched it, and I was like, nope.
Yeah, doesn't seem like your type of movie, but...
So we're introduced to Ted.
The vet.
The vet.
Right. They go in and, you know, he asks him all kinds of crazy questions, basically like acting like he's a dog, pretty much. Like asking questions that you would ask of a pet, kind of to be funny. But he ends up basically diagnosing him. He thinks what he's having is a panic attack, which David, of course, instantly... You know, announces that that is not a real thing.
It's not a real thing.
Because it's just something, it's a PR spin for celebrity publicists. So I love that he, you know, instantly is like, no, that's not
weird,
even real.
It's weird, because I would think if anybody is going to buy into the fact that a panic attack is a real thing, it would be these well-to-do, probably slightly misinformed. I'm not saying panic attacks aren't a real thing, but I would think if there's skeptics out there, it wouldn't be David. Like, I could see him constantly having panic attacks.
Right,
and constantly telling people, like, I have a tendency to have panic attacks and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think it's funny that later on when he talks to Alexis, like, she's it's also like, that's not real.
Yeah. When he informs her. So that's kind of what the decision that they come to. Yes, that he's just having a panic attack.
Mm-hmm. I do like how this vet is basically like, yeah, I can recognize a panic attack. I think most people probably could.
Right.
And most people when, I mean, the moment he says, oh, yeah, yeah, I went from living in a 2,500 square foot loft.
Soho loft space. Into like a motel.
It would make sense.
Room.
Everybody would kind of go, oh, yeah, yeah, you're probably just having a panic attack or you're at your wit's end. And, you know, and even, I don't know if this is when David talks about how he hasn't been sleeping, but he clearly has not been sleeping or not been sleeping well.
That's that lack of kale.
Right, exactly. That'll put you right out.
Yes.
Now we go back to the hotel. Moira is practicing her lines in the mirror, and the lines are ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, she really had, like, there's some, just the peachification.
Peachification
process. They talk about
that,
the peachification process with, you know, which Johnny's kind of like, what kind of moron uses these terms? Right. And she kind of had referred to it as the wine as liquid stink.
Right.
But then she was drinking the whites because she said they were less stinky.
Yep. And Herb sure has his name in this script a lot. Everything is Herbertlinger's this and Herbertlinger's that.
Yeah, but Moira is really kind of starting to get very hopeful.
Yes.
Because she feels that this really might be her opportunity for a comeback.
And she says that to Johnny, because Johnny's really put out by the fact that this guy did not want his help. And she even calls him out. He's like, no, that's not, I didn't expect anything and all that. But he's kind of criticizing the business and you can see that he was a little bit let down.
Oh, definitely.
By what happened.
Yes.
So now we go to community service, which they're still doing.
They are still
doing it. We haven't
seen
it in a while, but they're still doing their community service, Mutt and Alexis.
Yep. Picking up roadkill this time.
Picking up roadkill, picking up garbage.
Yeah, because she's totally horrified by the fact that she has to, like, try to scoop this dead animal carcass into the bag. And then Mutt basically just reached down and picks it up and shoves it in.
Yeah.
But I do like when they get to, like, where the little trash can is and they have to throw, like, whatever they've gathered away. She just takes her gloves off and throws them away.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even, it's not like they're disposable gloves. She just chucks them right in there. And then there's a downpour.
Oh, there's an immediate downpour.
Yes, all of a sudden.
And they have to run away to his nice
to his barn in the woods.
And we finally see the interior of his barn. Yes. And as Alexa says, it's very nice.
Yeah.
It's
really it's not
nicely
bad.
Decorated. Mm-hmm. You know, they have flirty banter.
Of course. Yeah. There's a lot of sexual tension there.
Yes.
Like, they're both drying off and everything. And Alexis, you can tell, like, she's definitely continues to be interested in him. Mm-hmm. And, you
know, of course, he takes his shirt off and he's shredded like lettuce, let's say.
Shredded like lettuce.
I don't know.
Wow.
So,
okay, that's a new one.
This is an interesting cut because I just, not that I needed to spend more time with them in this cabin, but I think it's so weird that she's suddenly invited to yoga and we don't see anyone invite her to yoga.
Right.
Like, I think it would have been more interesting if Twyla showed up and, like, interrupted this and was like, oh, yeah, come to yoga or something. But it's really weird that it, and again, I don't know how much stuff they shoot and how much they have to cut down to a 21-minute show.
Yeah.
So maybe something was cut out, but it seems like a weird abrupt jump in just, she returns and is like, oh, I'm invited to yoga, but I'm not gonna go.
No, that makes sense. It that is like a little bit of an abrupt jump.
But as this is happening, we step away to go to the set of the commercial.
Yes.
Where Johnny is annoying everyone on set.
Absolutely.
He's talking to the director, but on IMDb, this guy was just listed as camera operator.
Oh.
Even though he's the guy who's saying action then.
Yeah.
Later. He's played by Brian McQuarrie, bit parts, not much. He's usually listed as like cop number two,
Okay.
robber number one,
Okay.
groomsman number two.
Oh, okay.
Or various.
All right.
But again, I thought he did a good job, so everybody give him more work.
I agree. Yeah. Johnny was just asking totally annoying questions about like the filming process and what kind of stuff they were going to use to film it. I don't know all the terms and everything to even remember.
I don't know all the terms either, but I feel like he was probably using just archaic terms.
Yeah, or like random jargon that did not make any sense for the type of work that they were doing for this commercial.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he asks about film reels, but it seems like he should have asked about that.
And
the response should have been like, well, we're shooting on digital, you know.
No, so he was just totally annoying. You could tell they were just like frustrated and wanted nothing to really do with him.
But Alexis returns to the hotel, motel, and she's opening the blinds, letting in sun. David's very irritated.
In bed.
As we said, talking to her about a panic attack.
And quite possibly one of my most favorite Alexis lines. When she walks in and she opens those curtains and everything and he's annoyed.
Yeah.
And she said, to informs him that it's like a witch's house in here.
Okay.
Which I kind of love.
Yeah.
You know, she refers to witches. She talks about witches a lot.
What? Really?
Yes, there's other episodes when we get there.
All right,
we'll talk about it. Like specific lines that I can think of where she kind of mentions things. And this is when they have the conversation. He informs her that he's just having a panic attack. Right. And she also then, of course, like as we said a little bit earlier, you know, she informs him that, no, they're not real.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is when they have the exchange about the yoga class that she's invited to. She's not going.
Yeah.
But David's kind of intrigued about this.
He's like, invites
this
himself.
Might
he's
be
like,
good
that
for
would
me.
Be good for me.
Yeah, like I should go. And then she's like, well, I'm not going.
Mm-hmm.
And then another really great brother-sister moment, almost like back to the you get murdered first.
Yep.
We find out that they will be able to take a selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Basically meaning that they, you know, will, the other one is sort of forced to do what they want to do with them.
Yes.
And we were just informed that it was David's turn to take a selfish because she took the last selfish in Dubai.
Yeah, they argue for a little bit about whose turn it is to take a selfish.
Yes.
And I guess he can't, you know, I guess he can't really show up to yoga without her.
Yeah,
so
it would be.
Needs her.
Yeah.
It would be awkward for him to go to Mutt's barn. Now we're in a trailer.
Yes.
Because Moira's getting her makeup done.
Yep, getting all ready.
Mm-hmm. By makeup artist, and I thought the makeup artist in this was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
She's so great when she's just dismissing Johnny. It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal, played by Trenna Keating. She has a lot of credits, over 30 to her name. Some of the usuals, again, like Little Mosque on the Prairie, 12 Monkeys, and Dark Matter. But now, currently, she has a prominent role in the new, I didn't know that this was a thing, there is a new Anne of Green Gables TV series.
Oh, okay.
And she plays a pretty big role in that.
Okay.
So Johnny comes in after he's been bothering everybody on set, and he talks about how Moira's outfit is less flattering in the daylight.
Yeah, and they had picked the outfit out together. Mm-hmm. Like she kind of said, well, we picked this out together. This is what we decided. They bring a cheese tray to her, and he's like, who ordered the cheese tray? Like he's freaking out about that. One thing that I thought was really interesting here is very, very rarely, Moira always refers to him as John. She referred to him as Johnny at this
point. Which we talked about before. We've wondered if she ever refers to him.
And it's very unusual. She doesn't ever refer to him as Johnny. Like,
so do you think it's just because she's so annoyed with him? And
maybe
just
annoyed, nervous. I'm wondering how many glasses of wine she may have had in preparation for this too. But I just think that's an unusual thing that I noticed because she doesn't ever really refer to him. Everybody else refers to him as Johnny except for her.
Because basically his need to feel needed or feel important is really getting in the way of her doing what she needs to do.
And doing it well.
Like he should just sit back and not say anything, but he has to feel like he's important and should be there for some reason.
Yeah. And again, it's sort of a parallel, a little bit of a parallel between, I think David is kind of struggling with the same thing. Like he needs to feel important and wanted, and he's having this panic attack because of it. But we kind of see Johnny is unraveling a little bit as well. Like he kind of needs that same, like he needs to feel important. He needs to feel needed and wanted. And it's not working out for either one of them at this point.
Yeah. And she even suggests that he go home.
Yes. Yeah. Like Crystal leaves.
Everyone nervous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so she kind of says to him, like, basically, please go home. You need to leave.
Exactly. So we find out, we show up at Mutt's barn.
Yes, it's time for yoga.
And we find out that it is couples yoga.
Yes.
And David pairs with Jocelyn. Jocelyn's there.
Right. Jocelyn claimed David because Roland was supposed to be there, but he had a bad burrito.
Yep.
So he was MIA. Right. Yeah. So she just figured she would claim him because she didn't have a partner.
She's already heard about his panic attack.
Yes, from the vet, from Ted. Because Ted did not name him, but told her that someone precious, remember?
Yes, I forgot.
Someone precious was having, you know, Jocelyn kind of says to him, like, I'm really sad to hear about and sorry to hear about your nervous breakdown. And then she said, I knew when Ted said that it was someone precious that it had to be you.
I just don't, why is she talking to the vet?
They
what
ran into
doing?
Each other, I think, in the cafe or a town.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You're probably like, right. That's, okay. Again, it's a small town. I
small
get
town.
It. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. I just, they don't have a dog or a cat, right?
No, I'm
she
sure.
She wears
they
cat
just,
sweaters, but they don't have one.
She does wear the kitty cat sweater. Okay. Yes. But yeah, so Jocelyn claims David pretty much as soon as they come in right away.
Yes.
So, of course, that Twyla.
Well, Twyla's like.
Helps to basically set up Mutt and Alexis, since she is, Twyla is running the class.
Okay. I almost
she's teaching
said
it.
She's dictating the class. That doesn't
dictating
make sense.
It.
I didn't know
she's
what you
leading
would call
the
it.
Class.
Leading. Yes.
Leading would be a better
yeah,
word.
So she's leading the
running.
Class.
Yes.
They
kind of like start to get organized and ready, and then we kind of flashback, or I shouldn't say flashback, but we, go back to Moira in the commercial.
Moira is trying to do this commercial. She's trying to read her lines, and she's messing up a lot. And sometimes it's funny. It starts off being funny where, she has her makeup people. She's two makeup people now.
Yes.
That jump on set to do her makeup real quick and then have to jump out.
Yes.
And they have sort of a tracking shot where the camera just comes in and gets closer as she talks, but she can't. She messes everything up. At one point, she says her own name incorrectly.
Yeah, Moina.
Right.
Moina Rose.
Yep. Everybody laughs at that. She does not think it's funny. Yeah. She didn't even know that she did it.
And she basically just starts to self-destruct.
Right, like, the very last take, she just says nothing, and the camera just gets closer to her.
She's like deer in headlights
kind
of look. And it ends up, they kind of hear Johnny is heading back to the motel. Someone is driving him back. And he can kind of hear over the radio.
This kid.
He has
Thomas.
Okay.
Thomas
go ahead.
Is driving him back.
Okay.
And because Thomas has a line we should talk about. Thomas is played by Brendan Cox. Not many credits to his name, but he's currently in a TV series called Mrs. America. But he was also in TV series like Warehouse 13 and Degrassi, The Next Generation, shows that we've talked about before. So really, all these people just run in the same circles.
Yeah, now.
But yeah, he has a radio.
Yes.
And so he's listening to everybody on set basically say that she's going to get fired.
Right.
She's
and she needs to get.
Mess.
She went to her trailer.
Locked herself in.
Yes.
So now, I mean, this is really now. Now it's Johnny's time to shine. And you find out later that he's been doing this. For a very long time, that this is how he's needed.
Yes.
Is to just take control of this situation
when she
loses it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's having her own little panic attack. This is like the panic attack episode. Alexis is the only one that's holding strong in this episode.
Right.
I would say.
Sure.
You know, because she is still being
really
like
busy,
confident, bubbly.
Yeah.
Like
she's very busy.
Alexis. Although she still is like confident. But kind of unsure a little bit about this whole thing with Mutt. Like, she is panicked about the fact that they are paired together for yoga, I think. Like, I shouldn't say panicked, but uncomfortable about it, you know.
Right, and everything, it's an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
So, I understand. I don't think it's, David and Moira and Johnny. I think if one person is, like you said, having an easier time of it, it's certainly her.
Yeah, but I do think she's, do you really think like the quote unquote old Alexis would have had an issue like going to yoga and being paired with a hot guy? Like she would sail right in there and be super confident about it. But you can tell she is very like tentative about how to approach this situation. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I kind of think we're really seeing a lot of like faltering with everybody's character this episode.
Yeah, because it is, you know, it's uncomfortable. They have to like lay on top of each other.
Right.
And like grabs his ass at one point by accident, which I thought was really
his inner thighs.
Yes.
Yeah. And Twilight's like, no. Let him take care of
it. And everybody laughs. Like everybody around them sort of laughs.
Yeah. She's like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
That's right. Fun. But yeah, so anyway, we got off track. But yeah, so Johnny realizes that he needs to go back. We kind of flash back to the yoga. That's when we see that, you know, we see a little Jocelyn and David part in there. And, you know, the awkwardness between Alexis and Mutt.
Right.
But then we kind of go back into this commercial. Johnny has arrived back. Moira has locked herself in to the point that, you know, he's knocking to even be able to get in, and it turns out to open the door for him, she just threw a shoe the knob or the lock or whatever.
Because he gets in, he wants her to unlock the door. He gets in, and she's sitting across the trailer on the couch. And he's like, "How did you open the door?" And she says she threw a shoe.
Yes,
and it worked.
Yes.
And so he really does. He tries to comfort her. Mm-hmm. And he brings it back around to her professional job, acting on a TV series, acting on a soap. But it was
sad. I mean, he basically walked in. She had clearly been drinking that fruit wine from the time she got back in there. So she's totally drunk. Yeah. But it was sad to watch her say, like, I don't know how to do this. I'm no good anymore. Like, she was definitely really struggling with her talents and abilities as an actress. Mm-hmm.
I like how basically he gets to the point where he's like, well, you were pretty much drunk through
season three. Most of season three, half of season four, the end of season five. but I also like that she said, this wine is awful. Get me another glass.
And I also like how drunken Moira goes, did I used to have a drinking problem?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was great. Yeah. And she, but I mean, Johnny, again, is so sweet because she's like, I ruined everything. Yeah. And he's like, no. I ruined everything, you know, and it's just so nice to see like how much he cares in their, you know, in their relationship.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But yeah, he really spends a lot of time just kind of building her back up and, you know, and getting her feeling more confident about going back out and doing it.
And
it's such a nice scene between the two of them.
And it's interesting that you brought up how, I don't want to say well-adjusted Alexis is compared to everybody else, but strangely enough, by the end of this episode, the three of them have sort of gotten over their issues, and she's the only one with this unresolved Mutt thing still hanging around. Because back at yoga, David falls asleep.
Yes. He confesses his loneliness to Jocelyn and falls asleep on top of her.
On top of Jocelyn.
Which is great.
Yep. And we are treated to the commercial, the full commercial.
The commercial's
at the end
amazing.
Of the episode.
Yes.
Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. Yes. I don't know if you wrote down. I did not write down what she says.
She ends up, she really nails it. I mean,
with the exception
of the end, but I feel like as she starts talking in the beginning, she does say crabapple. like the crabapple.
Yes.
So that like always cracks me up when I see it. But I do feel like just the way she moves, she looks amazing.
Oh,
like in the set and the way she does it. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say nails it, because clearly the ending is a disaster.
But it's as good as can be expected from all the nonsense she has to say. And again, trying to say his name.
Right.
That's what she can't do at the end of this.
Yes.
She cannot say this poor...
Oh, no.
Bert or... I can't even say his name.
Herb Ertlinger.
Oh, I called him Bert.
You did call him Bert, and I think she did too. Yeah, she goes through a whole list of names, but of course it ends with Bingo Ling Fucker is the last name that she ends up saying.
Yes.
So yeah, I loved watching the commercial at the end.
Yeah. Though. Oh, like, it was a fantastic way to end this. Definitely.
Yes.
So I
agreed.
Have one question before we move on to the end and talk about whether we liked it or not. While I'm on IMDb looking at cast, they normally only provide, you know, credits to people that speak. There is someone in this episode who is credited as a receptionist. And I just don't know who that is. Because it's
at
clearly,
the vet office, is there someone?
Oh, maybe that's it. Stevie doesn't call the vet, right?
I don't think so.
And I thought we were just in Ted's
That would be the only
room.
Thing, unless there's somebody at the winery.
Because it's
but receptionist would make sense for the vet's office. But I feel like when they go in, they're in.
I thought they were right in there in the exam room. Yeah. Okay, that's it. I just wasn't sure if I missed something. Because then at first I was like, well, that was Stevie at the beginning patching the call through. Like, that wasn't.
Yeah, no, it was because he referred to her as Stevie. Yes. That was definitely Stevie.
Okay, that was it. That
yeah, was the only thing I can think of is the vet's office or maybe somebody at the winery.
Right, but we
there were other people. Weren't there other people wandering around behind them at the winery?
I don't know, I don't know why anyone at the winery would be a receptionist.
Yeah, that's like a weird word to.
Anyway, because and also we do, not to get ahead of ourselves, because you always get upset when I do this, but we meet the receptionist, right? Eventually at the vet, right? Because her credit was one and done. This episode of Schitt's Creek, no more.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. This is a mystery that we don't
there's
need
a
to
couple
solve.
Yeah, there's a couple different people at the vet's office that I'm thinking of. Okay. But yeah.
All right. No, that's it. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so great.
So, at the end of every episode, mm-hmm. we go back and we have rankings.
Stressful part.
We try and put this in try and fit it in, whether it's at the top of the list as the best or down near the bottom as the least best. So, if this episode were a fruit wine, would you down the entire bottle?
Oh,
or would
totally.
You just dump it in the spit bucket?
I would totally down it.
All right. So where would you put this? Now, just to remind you, and eventually we will stop reading our listings.
Right.
And even right now, your favorite episode so far was the pilot episode,
yes.
the episode Absolutely. Number one, Our Cup Runneth Over. Mm-hmm. And your least favorite episode was the last episode, The Cabin.
Yeah.
So do you know where you would put this?
I love this episode. Mm-hmm. I really do. I love all the David and Stevie. I love the Alexis and David scenes in this episode. I might say that I would put this up at number two.
Okay.
I think it advances before some of those other ones for me. I love the commercial. I love the Johnny Moira moments. Okay. Like when he's, I think there's so many just great lines, great scenes. Yeah. I really love this one. The ladybug and the wine. Like, yeah, I love it.
All right.
And just always like, that's like you said, that's one of the good ones. Like he's so weirdly happy that they found a ladybug in their wine. Like, I love this one.
All right. Well, you and I match up perfectly with, our top two.
Wow. You love this one too?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
This is great. I love, like you had said, the relationship between Johnny and Moira. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yes.
I'm not crazy about the yoga parts of this.
I think
it's great, but everything leading up to that, everything regarding the panic attack and everything, I think is so funny. I love the fact that he goes to the vet. I just think that's so Schitt's Creek, let's say.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, this is a really, really good episode. This is very funny. And as you said earlier, selfish.
That's great.
There's so many great lines in this. So, I'm going to put this one at number two.
Yeah, and know me. Like, I feel like and there's so many. We were talking the one time just about episodes and how we pick like favorites. And when I think too, there are certain ones that I love just because of like one small part of it, though, too. I think we view episodes differently.
Yeah.
Because for me, there are just these big moments that happen that stand out to me that make me love it. But might just be one small part of an episode. So it's interesting. I'm kind of surprised that we're like bumping this up to the same place.
It was just that good.
It was.
All right. Everybody, thank you for listening. Yep. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter, Instagram. Interact with us online. We will respond. We will answer your questions. Argue about whether this is the second best episode we've seen so far. If you think this is terrible. If you think it's better than the first episode, let us know that as well. And we will talk to you again in 2 weeks when we'll be discussing episode 7 of season 1, Turkey Shoot.
Turkey Shoot.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, warmest regards.